Morning all, Thursday, May 9, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Couple of really good games of footy tonight in the NRL. The Dolphins up against Manly, sneaky good game. Fourth v fifth on the ladder, and in the AFL, an absolute burner. Carlton and Melbourne, the last time they played in the semi-final last year. One of the better games you'll see, which Carlton eked out by 2 points on that occasion. The fields are out for Saturday. Big day at Gosford for the Coast meeting. And a nice filly, very expensive one. One on debut there at Warwick Farm yesterday. Clean Energy. Counting down to the Kambosos-Lomachenko fight on Sunday as well. Over there in Perth. Going to be a beauty. And back in the nation is our man Pup. How are you, Pup?
Morning, boys. Good morning. Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Morning to our listeners. It's nice to be home, Middo. Put it that way. Got in late last night. Had a great trip, don't get me wrong, but geez, that feeling when that aeroplane flies over the top of Sydney is the best feeling in the world. So great to be home, buddy.
Good to have you back. Loza, morning to you,
mate. Morning, Middo. Morning, Pup. Great to have you home, mate. Hope you enjoyed yourself over there in India.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
I saw Travis Head last night.
Mate.
Go off, playing some great cricket in the IPL. I shouldn't say all of our guys are playing well over there, but some of our guys have just had enormous IPLs, haven't
they? They've hit form.
Yeah.
What's your boys' take on the Jake Fraser-McGurk missing the World Cup squad?
Oh, I had to get him in there. He's in too good a form. I know the old
imagine him and Travis Head walking out together.
Yeah, we were the two names three threw up yesterday, and I know they offer with their bowling, but Stoinis or Green maybe. But Stoinis has been playing pretty well. I mean,
we missed out again last night, Stoinis.
Yeah, he's probably been playing better than Green though over the course
yes,
of the
yeah,
IPL.
Definitely. Yeah. He got a brilliant 100 Marcus Stoinis, like one of the hundreds of the tournament, and he's got another 60 as well. Greeny's just trying to turn things around now, and his team RCB are just starting to turn things around. I can understand the reasons behind sticking with the known player, and it's not, I don't think it's Jake Fraser-McGurk versus David Warner. I don't think that's the battle. I think David Warner's a good enough player in the conditions we're going to bat anywhere. And I think he offers us a bit of an advantage if he comes in at number three or number four, being a left-hander, because I think a lot of teams are going to bowl spin. So if you've got a left-right-hand combination, that can help. Jake Fraser-McGurk could have offered that at the top of the order, him and Travis Head left, right hand. But just there, the intimidation factor at the moment, I know we've gone with the tried and tested, so I can understand that. But I just feel, if I'm a bowler, I think I'd rather bowl to anyone else that opens than Jake Fraser-McGurk at the moment in those first six overs. Him and Travis Head, they are on fire.
It's a tantalising thought, isn't it, having those two opening the batting?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, he had to miss out. I think...
Yeah, you can't get 16 into 15, can you? Yeah, I know.
I think if he had a bit more time, and I reckon if they didn't name the squad when they did, if they left it to, the end of the IPL, it might change. Because he just stand and delivers, doesn't he? He has just got a good eye.
You know what my old man says, Loz? My old man finds it really hard to watch, or not to watch 2020, but to, like, a little bit like you, Mido, to get into it. Like he doesn't love the game at all. No. So he said it's baseball more than cricket. He said Jake Fraser-McGurk is the perfect example. That kid and thinks he's a superstar, but he said it's base. He stands there like a baseballer, and hits. He puts his foot in the same spot and just plays baseball. Mm. And when you, again, when my old man, you laugh and go, Dad, mate, come on, mate, get with the times. But if you watch Jake Fraser-McGurk bat, his whole setup is exactly the same as a baseballer.
Mm. Well, and he does. He just stands and delivers, doesn't he? He just goes
that's
bang.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's just see ball, hit ball, isn't it, Pup? Like you say, just put your foot in that spot.
Yeah. And you know what's going to be interesting? Because this, I really like Jake, and I think he's going to play. I think he's talented enough to play all three formats, but his challenge is now going to be going into Sheffield Shield cricket and Test cricket with that technique against a ball that might move a little bit. The way he's set up, he's probably a middle order batsman in the longer format, but his hand eye coordination and his talent, I think he'll find a way. A little bit like when Davey Warner came in, he started as a 2020 specialist as well, but they're just so talented, they find a way. So I think Jake will, but he'll definitely need to make some adjustments with his technique against the ball that moves once he plays on wickets that are going to do a bit more.
Yeah, they're one of those batsmen that can just take a game away straight away, like in the first hour, first session, of a long-form game or the first four overs of the short-form game. They can just destroy an opposition.
You make 100 in the first six overs.
Yeah, oh, mate, unbelievable.
But last night, if Travis Head and the left-hander, he's opening, I can't think of his name, if they batted first, they would have made 300.
Abhishek Sharma.
Abhishek Sharma, a brilliant young left-hander as well. Good player. He's been on fire as well. But, mate, they got 160 in nine overs.
Yeah, I was just going to say for our listeners overnight, we're referring to Travis Head's performance. So the Lucknow Super Giants posted 4 for 165. And the Sunrisers Hyderabad openers, who are Abhishek Sharma and Travis Head, reached the target in 9.4 overs. So that's going at a clip of 17.27. None for 167. Head, 89 not out of 30 deliveries. Sharma, 75 not out of 28 deliveries. So Head struck at 296.66 and Sharma, 267.85. We were having the discussion yesterday with Bulldog, though, Pup. The game has just got skewed way too far. Yeah. In the direction of the batsman. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It won't be like this all the time. This is, we're seeing these scores because of the wickets in India. India, the grounds are tiny. They're lightning fast outfields, and some of these pitches that we've seen are out of control. You're not going to see this in Australia. You've got bigger boundaries. There's generally more in the pitch as well. So I think the above 200 is realistic now, but the 250s, the 300, you're not going to see that consistently. So I think we've just got to just hold on a little bit because we're seeing it in India at the moment in the IPL. Even at the World Cup, I don't think we'll see scores this dramatic as consistently as we've seen it. But yeah, I think there's a level, you know, I'm with you. I don't think I'm one of the people, even though I'm a batter, that wants to see 300 scored. Because I tell you now, if you've got a son or a daughter who's a bowler, you're spending time in the lounge room, they're in tears. They don't want to play. Yeah. Everyone wants to be a batsman, but cricket, you can need bowlers as well. But at the moment, some of these grounds, you're better off setting up a bowling machine.
In India, though, Pup, is there any commentary talking about what we're just talking about now? Or are they just?
Yes.
Or are they?
No. Lots.
Oh, is like, there? Okay. Well, that gives me hope.
Even all the commentary is it has. Have we gone too far? Is it too?
Well,
there is nothing. There's nothing in the favour of the bowlers. At the moment, the brand new Kookaburra is not swinging much at all over in India. They're blaming the balls, but I don't know. I think it's the pitches as much as anything else. They're just so flat, and they're not even deteriorating enough. So now you're three quarters away through the tournament. You expect these wickets to be a little bit used, but because there's so many venues now, you're playing all around the country. The wickets are still good. The groundsmen are doing too good a job. So there's got to be some sort of transition where, mate, even if it's 70-30, 70 for the batters for the entertainment, 30 for the bowlers, even that gives them some chance. But at the moment, some of these grounds are 99-1. It's just stand and deliver. So, yeah, I think the entertainment factor of hitting sixes every ball is good in theory, but mate, it's the same as baseball. You want to see strikeouts as well.
What about, was there much talk about the rise of the T20 franchises all around the world, and talk about maybe the decline of Test match cricket? While you were there?
Not really, Loz. I think our safety is India still are very keen to play Test cricket. Like, I get on very well with Rohit Sharma, and I've had a number of conversations with him, who, again, has been a brilliant T20 and one-day player, but he loves Test cricket as well. He's the Indian captain at the moment. You know, so I think as long as they still want to play Test cricket, And they're playing more five-test match series as well. They're playing a five-test match series against Australia this summer. They played five test matches against England as well. So I think the fact test cricket is probably going to be dominated by only a handful of countries. I think India, Australia, England, and maybe South Africa, I think are going to be the big four around test cricket. In regards to the quality of that, but I think the game that we'll continue to talk about how that's going to play out is one day cricket, because if you go from this what we've just been watching to then watch a one day, those middle overs are going to feel so boring. So I think test cricket's safe at this stage, buddy, that's for sure. And T20 cricket, mate, it is just, I can't believe I keep saying it, it's getting bigger over there. Like, they're adding two more teams. So now this tournament that goes for 8 weeks is now going to go for 12 weeks.
Seriously.
So I don't know how the ICC is going to fit in the international schedule. That's going to take another hit as well. They've got a Champions Trophy in April next year. The Pakistan Premier League's on in April. The Indian Premier League's on in April. It's all going to conflict. So I don't know how it's going to work.
I'll tell you what, the wheel's about to turn at South's, Loz. Do you know why?
Why?
Cookie, our man, tipped a winner at Warwick Farm yesterday. Pippi Beach in the last. And thanks for pointing that out on the text line. Cheers to Cookie for the tip yesterday. Pippi Beach salutes.
All right, so you think now he's got his confidence with the tipping of the horses.
Yeah, it'll just transfer feed into over. The club.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, I like your way of thinking. I'd like to see South have a bit of success. A lot of people wouldn't.
They were the people I was thinking of when you said that. I was referring people on my mates group chat are just loving watching them in the dog.
Oh, yeah, I hate seeing teams really struggle. I want to see them get a win here and there.
Got enough good player. They'll bounce back.
Oh, they'll bounce back. They'll go on together. A run. Yeah. They'll go on a run.
They won't get the spoon.
No, they're too good to get the spoon.
Real Madrid and Bayern Munich is scoreless at halftime in their second leg Champions League semi-final this morning. 2-2 on aggregate from the first leg. The winner to play Borussia Dortmund in the final at Wembley, of course. Back page of the Daily Telegraph today. And it is, I want to coach again. Is the headline there, Demetrio's exit interview. So he has spoken to News Corp here, and in the wake of his sacking, he's adamant, the former Souths coach Demetrio, that he holds no bitterness towards the club, that he'll take many learnings from the experience, will be a better coach, and still has ambitions to coach in the NRL. In fact, he intends to keep consuming the game. So he'll be ready to go when or if he receives an opportunity, has said absolutely all the right things here. Oz, as we know, in the great game of rugby league or in any profession you're in, it's best to go quietly and not burn bridges.
Oh, most definitely. I think he's handled himself with a bit of class, Jason Demetrio. Yeah. I thought the message he sent to the players was first an exceptional text message, very heartfelt, and spoke about the enjoyment the players gave him and seeing them grow. He left on great terms with the playing group and now the club. He's certainly not going to be critical. They gave him an opportunity. It didn't work out. And I think he'll be back, Jason Demetrio. It'll take him a while to get back as a head coach, but I think getting back into the system, he'll be there, no worries. In fact, he probably gets a start somewhere next year as an assistant or a senior assistant and then tries to work his way back up the ladder. But all reports are that he's a wonderful coach, great man manager, and gets on really well with his players. And I think if he has his time over again, he'd do things differently. But
did I think he's commentating, Loz?
Yeah, I think he's got a gig with Triple M.
He does.
Triple M, yeah, okay. For the rest of the year. So
that's got to be a good thing as well. Keeps him heavily involved and eyes on the footy throughout the season.
Yeah,
as well.
No, I think it's a good move to have someone like that involved in commentary. But I think he would have learnt a lot after the couple of years he had in charge of South Sydney. And if he's faced with those situations again, he'd probably make some different decisions.
And, you know, when you less than
what, as we all would, when you spend a bit more time in the job and when you learn.
And I'm sure he probably has some, disgruntlement, but by not airing them is just the way to go. Because you can only imagine the story he's probably got. Oh, really behind the scenes,
what's
the
it going
things
to say
he it? Was told that probably did not happen. Yeah. And he had probably, when he sacked his coach, I'm sure there's a side to the story he'd love to give.
I'm sure, but I think what does that serve? And he's handled himself really classy. You know, he's done a really good job the way he's been able to come out of it. It would have been a tough time for him with all the speculation and not. I think it's always easier on the person involved because you've been a part of it, if you know what I mean. Like when you've been inside the tent, you know how it all works. So you know how it all rolls. You know if you're going to get sacked, the dogs are barking, it's going to be in the media, people are going to be talking about it. And it's not a pile on, but it just seems like every day they're not letting you go until you go. And it's the family and friends that feel it more.
It's always not, easy not when saying it's that, not you laws as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like when it's like when you read something in the paper, when it's about yourself, you feel like it's written like in font 100, bold capital letters. You think it's like the biggest story in the world, but to everyone else, they read it, they turn the page, they read about someone else, they turn the page. The next day, there's a story about like everything just moves on, but it is hard. Like if it's the first time you go through it, as you said, Loz, it's as much about all the phone calls and support you get from family and friends because it hurts them as well, the criticism.
Back page of the Courier Mail in Queensland today. Left, right, out. Sailor all at sea. Talented Broncos backline weapon in limbo after latest admission is the headline here. Any extent of surprise, Loz, that Tristan Sailor was overlooked with Adam Reynolds being out of this side? There was talk that perhaps Ezra Mamm and Sailor could combine in the halves, but they've gone with 27-year-old Josh Rogers, who we don't know a lot about, in halfback this week.
I haven't seen Josh Rogers, but one thing I think you have to get right when you haven't got your best sevens available is to pick a seven. Someone that genuinely knows how to run a team.
Look at Penrith.
Has been in charge of a team because it's so much easier. When you haven't been a dominant figure of a football team, and they say, mate, there's the keys to the team, go and run it. If you haven't done it before, at NRL level, you're in for a tough afternoon, I think. I remember Shenzi actually wanted me to play halfback. I played halfback a couple of games. It was totally different, and I was out of my depth doing it. I just couldn't do it. So it's not for everyone. And if you haven't done it in the lower grades, it's hard learning on the run in the NRL. Now, I don't know whether Tristan has played any halfback. I don't know whether Ezra Mann has played any halfback. But it doesn't strike... They don't strike me as the players that can run a team and be really dominant and get people into position. That's all they have to do. They're brilliant with the football, but I think Kevy's made the right decision here. I think he's gone with a genuine seven that he knows can just get the team to where we need them to go, kick well, tackle well, use my voice, and that's all he's looking for.
Warren, the subject of sevens, or possibly sixes, if you're talking rep footy, Andrew John's column in the Herald today, why this is the most important 3 weeks of Hines' career. And it certainly is for Nico Hines to put himself in the Origin frame, as they've got, of course, the Storm this week. They've got the Roosters in Brisbane for Magic Round. And then they come back and play Penrith at home in Sydney. So this is, isn't it, Loz? This 3 weeks will determine whether Nico Hines is picked in Origin or not.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. I think Nico has said that he didn't handle last year being dropped and didn't handle when he got an opportunity to come on in that game. And he said that, you know, he could have done things a little bit better. But I reckon, you know, they're going to look at the way he defends, look at the way... If he makes a mistake, how does he recover from making that mistake? And what's his next action? Does he forget about it and park it? Or is he a guy that continually worries about what's just happened and takes him 5 or 10 minutes then to recover and get back into a game? In these high-intensity games that he's about to face. You know, they've played some good teams, but they're about to start this run against the Storm, the Roosters and the Panthers. And if he can deliver in that 3 weeks, then he's got to be a massive hope of playing 5-8 for New South Wales.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Give us a call, 1353-53-0419-767-272 on the text line. And it is still scoreless in Spain. Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, second leg of their Champions League semi-final this morning, and it was 2-2. in the first leg in Germany last week as they try and sort out who's going to play Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final at Wembley. In the IPL overnight, we spoke about it earlier, but Travis Head taking the proverbial 89 not out off 30 deliveries as his Sunrisers Hyderabad side chased down the Lucknow Super Giants 4 for 165, reaching the target within 10 overs and with all 10 wickets in hand there as well. As we mentioned off the top two, a couple of good games of footy on tonight. The Dolphins up against Manly. And Carlton and Melbourne is a cracker in the AFL. We'll speak about that with Josh Kennedy later this morning. But the Dolphins, fourth on the ladder. Herbie Farnworth is back from a shoulder injury. Manly, coming off that capitulation against the Raiders last Friday, get Ben Trbojevic back. Lachlan Croker's out, though, with some concussion. The market, what would you have the market here, Loz, before I even look at it?
I'd have Manly favourite. I've underestimated the Dolphins all season, so I'm assuming now you've said that. I did read the odds out last night. It was about $2.10 or $5 or something like that, are they?
When
the
I Dolphins? Wrote it down
$1.70 Manly?
Yeah, when I wrote it down last night, the Dolphins were $2.15, Manly $1.70, so the Dolphins plus +2.5, and the system's just rebooting, of course, at the moment, right. But $2.15. A very tight market.
Yeah, I think Manly will bounce back. I think they'll be disappointed with the way they folded at the back end of that game. And I heard Anthony Seibold talk last night on the news, on Nine News, about how they're just not staying in games. Their best football is good enough, but they just haven't been able to sustain it for a long period, and their game management needs work, which was interesting because you've got Daly Cherry-Evans there, and Daly's one of the great man managers, you know? Mm-hmm. So, obviously, as a unit, they're just not producing what we know they can, and that's disappointing for the team and also disappointing for the coaches because they'd be sitting there going, well, hang on, That's your responsibility. Why aren't you following what needs to be done? So they get a good opportunity to go to Suncorp Stadium and take on a Dolphins side who are playing with plenty of confidence at the moment and show everyone that they are the real deal. Because I think if Manly lose this game, I think we start to doubt their credentials. I think you really start to think, is this Manly side really capable of making the top four and making a run for it? Or we've just been caught up with the hype. So I think it's a big game for Manly. In particular, with Origin coming up, you know that Tom's going to be missing. You know that Daly Cherry-Evans is going to be missing. Maybe Olakau'atu could be missing. So, and I know they've missed him, Olakau'atu, because he's that real threat, but he could be in Origin. So you're going to take a couple of good players out of this team, and if they don't build up the bank now, they might be chasing their tail, Manly. So this is a big game for them.
We'll preview it all with Block in an hour's time. We've got Johnny on the line. G'day, Johnny.
How are you, Middo?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. What's doing?
Mate, I just, to start with, wanted to thank you. You're a culinary genius.
What's that done?
I've never been called that before, I guarantee you.
What's he done, Johnny?
Mate, I was laying there in bed yesterday and you were talking about peanut butter and beetroot on toast. And I thought, oh, Mido, you're a sensible man. I thought, you're mad.
Mm-hmm. I think you got me mixed up with Dave Stanley, which is concerning.
Peanut butter and beetroot.
Peanut butter on toast with beetroot. Well, and I tried it and it was absolutely beautiful. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, oh.
Papa Johnny, it was Dave Stanley.
who's ever put beetroot and peanut butter together?
Stanley.
That's a man that there's nothing left in the fridge in the cupboard. You got two leftover bits of toast hanging there. He just added it. Surely he's the only man ever to put those two together.
So you, after hearing that yesterday, Johnny, you were genuinely inspired to give this a whirl.
Wow.
Honestly thought it'd be not that good, but I thought, I may as well give it a go, you know.
How did your tummy handle it?
It was good.
It was all right?
Like, I took a photo of it and I sent it to my parents and my friends and I said, you have to try this. I said, I know it seems sick, but, you know, like, yeah.
Oh, can you tell me sort of, is there a taste that it so you can compare it to?
Not really. It just kind of works. But yeah, like this, the beetroot and the peanut butter, it just, yeah.
I laughed when Stanley said that yesterday because I thought he was telling a bit of a porky. But when we got off air, he said, no, it's great. But I wasn't expecting anyone to try it yesterday, Johnny. But you reckon it's okay?
Well, there's a fair bit of idiot in me, so, you know, I had to try it, you know.
All right. Well, I'll see whether anyone else has tried it. We'll put the call out. You know what? I might even have a crack this weekend.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah. No. I'll tell you when to do it. Do it after a big night. Imagine you and I doing it last Saturday.
Oh, well, I would have been in that bathroom in Wagga Airport after it, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I reckon we would have been.
Oh. I actually just had a thought. There probably already is, like an Instagram page of all this sort of stuff, just weird combinations of food.
You might be onto something.
Film yourself. I don't know how you can make a buck out of it.
Yeah.
Something for DS, though, maybe. All right, there you go. So that's the influence of DS. Influencer.
Yeah, he's an influencer now on his Instagram, but
he's
also
giving someone food poisoning.
Also on his radio show.
Thank you, Johnny, by the way, and glad you enjoyed that culinary
delight.
I'm glad
he thinks you're DS. That's more impressive.
Well, it's right at the end of the show, Pup. We were talking. Yeah, I don't even DS know how it came up. What were we talking about?
Oh, I can't remember either.
I think his brain just went to food.
Yeah,
normally,
I think
came out with it.
Yeah.
Mm. No, that's right. On the Today Show, they were talking. They had a segment about combinations of food.
Yes.
And how they've now got packets of Twisties, Pup, where
chicken and cheese
are in the same packet.
The combo.
And so that prompted DS to go, how about this one?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one either, the chicken and cheese. You want it or cheese, don't you? So it's all over your hands. Well, so you can lick your fingers as well.
Well, Richard's just texted in. He goes, peanut butter and beetroot on toast was my wife's craving whilst pregnant.
You know what? I can understand that. If they're pregnant, there's a few strange cravings.
Mm.
So I can understand it. But, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to the... Or you're going to the pantry and the fridge? Where's the beetroot? Where are you putting that for starters? Is that canned in the fridge? Turning your bread soggy for starters.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I'm not sure I'm ever going for that combo. Loz, I look forward to you trying it, though.
Yeah.
Report back.
I'll report back. I'll report back, boys.
We won't see you till Wednesday. Cause you'd be cool.
I don't really want to know about your stomach situation after as well. It's such a you question to ask. Yeah,
you've got to ask.
How's your guts recover?
Well, you've got to ask, because if I'm going to try, I don't want to know what the reaction's going to be.
Mate, sweet. Just make sure you stocked your bog roll. Go on, Middo.
You know,
please.
I've got a weak tummy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I've got a bad
tummy. You of all people shouldn't be trying this.
Oh. Yeah, no.
The weather. Why do you say possibly in the morning, in the afternoon, instead of all day? Ask Marg.
Marg.
This is something is that I read exactly what it says on the Bureau of Meteorology's website.
Yeah, he's not creative, Marg.
I'm not a weather person. I do as I'm told. So I just
you need to get more creative. What about your little game you had when you were
going
to pick
every
little country town in New South Wales, and you thought that'd be... great for this show.
Well, we went interstate and I had more cities I had to read out. Yeah. So I just, you don't want the weather to go for 5 minutes.
No, but you thought it
like
was all
anything
fun
was,
and games. And
it's
then
good
you're...
in theory. Yeah, good at the start,
exactly
wasn't
right.
It?
Look, it was too much work.
Of it.
It was too much work.
It's exactly right.
I lost, mate. Yeah, gee, there's some news in the golfing world seeing that LIV Golf, they've got a trading window allowing players to swap teams. And Rory McIlroy's not returning to the PGA's policy board. We've got the PGA Championship next week, the Wells Fargo this week. There just never seems to be a dull moment at the moment. Evan Priest, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Good morning, Middo. Mate, I'm confused. If I was to read out the acronym to you, FAAFO, what do you think that would mean?
F-double-A-F-O. I've got absolutely.
If it starts with F, you can make your own assessment.
good logic, Clarky. Very good logic, because that's exactly what it means. It means F around and find out. And that's how Phil Mickelson, the great Phil Mickelson, signed off from a since-deleted tweet where he basically said that in a couple of years, if LIV golfers don't get their way, they're going to start boycotting the majors and they're all going to get together. Even the ones who have won majors and are eligible are going to get together and say, we're not playing because Abraham Anser's not allowed to play the British Open or the Masters. Mm-hmm. And just the thought of Brooks Koepka, who's won five majors and is hell-bent on winning more, walking into, say, Augusta National and saying, you know what, guys? I'm good with the Masters because Abraham Anser and Taylor Gooch can't play, so I'm going to stick with my boys in solidarity, and I'm not going to play the Masters, even though I'm eligible. It's laughable, and it's why Mickelson has deleted the tweet. There's some dramas around. You mentioned Taylor Gooch. You mentioned the PGA Championship. It's starting to boil over a little bit. You know, like the golfers like Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, they're starting to lose their major eligibility, or they're about to next year, and they're starting to get a little bit desperate, and they're throwing things out there like that. Those suggestions, however. The PGA Championship is next week. It's the second major of the year. They've actually extended an olive branch to a few of the LIV golfers. Even Taylor Gooch, who has been complaining. He's an American guy that was fantastic on the PGA Tour in 2022, went to LIV. He was fantastic on LIV golf last year. He actually beat Cameron Smith their season-long individual gong. But he refuses to get on a plane and go and try and qualify for some of these majors. And has no problem telling the world why that is the case. And they've given him a special exemption, you know, the PGA Championship next week. And that includes, they gave a few of them out to Taylor Gooch. Our very own Lucas Herbert was a beneficiary of one of those. Dean Burmester, a South African bloke, and a couple others. And, yeah, it's starting to get a bit awkward between the majors and LIV golf, guys.
So is that a sign of goodwill for them to offer the olive branch for those guys to come back? And this text message has come in from Scott from Bris Vegas, Evan. He goes, boys, all's not well on the PGA world. Rory wants back on the policy board to accelerate the partnership with PIF, but has been rejected by the likes of Tiger and Cantlay, who think they can go it alone. Don't know if getting into an arms race will end well for them.
Yeah, it's a confusing one with Rory McIlroy. He wanted back in on the policy board after sort of admitting it was causing a lot of stress and he wasn't getting anywhere. And then he got rejected with it. And I think that boils down to basically there are two factions within the PGA Tour policy board. And that's Tiger Woods, who's very traditional, very old school, doesn't want to involve the Saudi PIF at all, even though he played golf with the governor of the PIF in the Bahamas a couple of months ago. I think it was just after Christmas. And Rory McIlroy, who is more of a European football mentality, where he's not as averse to Saudi investment, you know, having talked to some champion footballers that he's friends with, and he's realised that they're just in every sport and that's inevitable. And they tend to disagree on that. Now I'm connecting dots here. I don't know that for sure, but I would imagine that's why his vision is probably too different to Tiger Woods, who is obviously the king of that boardroom.
Have you mentioned the PGA champs next week? Any early picks, buddy?
Absolutely. So right now, I would get on him right now because I think the markets will come in a little bit. But Brooks Koepka, you know, he's been playing well on LIV Golf. He played well at the Masters, and he won his first LIV Golf event in a few months in Singapore last week. I believe he's $13. And that's pretty good odds for the defending champion. You know, usually the defending champion's under the $10 mark. And Valhalla is a really, really big ballpark. Rory McIlroy won there in 2014, the last time it was held there. It's in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, one of the great horse racing cities of the world. And Tiger Woods won there in 2000. And it's just tailor-made for those guys to hit the ball a long way, which Brooks Koepka does. And he's just the way he plotted himself around this very finicky little golf course in Singapore just tells me he's going to do well. And $13 is far juicier than, say, Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, the Masters champion. He's $5, and it just doesn't appeal to me unless you can have a bit of fun with it, maybe do a first-round bet. So that's who I'm looking at the moment for that. And if you wanted to bet on an Aussie outright, not the top Aussie market, but outright, I'd have a bit of a go at Minwoo Lee at the PGA Championship next week too. I'm actually about to speak to him this afternoon, but he's $41, and that's pretty decent value for someone who's finished in the top 25 in the last two starts, one of those being the Masters. He hits the ball longer than anyone on tour, so he's a decent little bet there at $41.
And this weekend, of course, we've got the Wells Fargo. So we've got a pretty strong field here, don't we, being the week before the PGA?
Exactly, Mido. This is what they call those signature events that are worth $20 million. It's another one of those. A side story to this one is there's a bloke called Webb Simpson who won. I don't know if you remember. He won the U.S. Open about 12 years ago when a bloke called Birdman interrupted the victory speech by crowing like a bird and got a red. You know, it's hilarious. Anyway, he's well over the hill. He's past his prime, and he keeps getting invitations to these signature events because he's on the PGA Tour policy board. There's a bit of not too many players are happy about that one. He lives off the golf course. He's got another invite, 4 in a row for this bloke, who can't really beat an egg anymore. Anyway, the Wells Fargo, it's basically a major championship field. It's prepping these guys for next week. It's at another big golf course called Quail Hollow in Charlotte. Really, really big ballpark. Always suited the big drivers like Rory McIlroy. He's won there 3 times. He's a decent bet, but I think he's $8 if I'm looking at the odds correctly here.
Yep.
And yeah, he's $8. And it's just, they're decent odds, but not decent enough for me. I would be having a go at Wyndham Clark. He's $15. He's the defending champion. He won here last year. And it kind of kicked off his season. He won the US Open after that. And he hits it a very long way, almost as long as Rory McIlroy. Great iron player. And $15 is in that diagonal for me of good player versus good odds. So I'd have a bit of a go at him. And also Max Homer. Max Homer won here in 2019. He's $19. And I'd also get on Max Homer for a $4.50 top five bet because I think he's going to go close. I don't know if he's going to win. So $4.50 for a top five is not bad odds.
What about the tournament at Myrtle Beach this weekend, mate?
Yeah, Loz, this is a funny one because this is they held this kind of pre-tournament qualifier for YouTube influencers, and that isn't a joke. A bunch of blokes like these guys that basically get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars per month to spruik brands and go and play courses and whatnot. They all got together and had this thing called the Q, and it was a qualifier. And a local pro, a Korn Ferry pro who does appear in a lot of these YouTube videos, actually won it. He got into the field. This is the Myrtle Beach Classic. It's not exactly the PGA Tour. It's a bit more like the PGA B Tour. There's certainly all the top guys are going to be at Quail Hollow. All the bottom guys are going to be at Myrtle Beach. But it's going to be a good event. And I'm looking at Matt Wallace, the English golfer. He's been playing some good golf, and he's $29 for a win. So someone of that calibre who's won on the PGA Tour, won on the DP World Tour, a really good player, good ball striker. And he's even paying $6.50 for a top five and $3.60 for a top 10. So I'd have a go at Matt Wallace at Myrtle Beach.
Love it, mate. Plenty going on. Can't wait for the major next week, and we'll chat to you then. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good, boys. Thanks.
Evan Priest there. Now, we've got a real flashpoint here in the Champions League at the moment, Loz. It is drama. So there's a goal review, and it looks like both sides have scored. So it's 1-1. The ball's been put in the back of the net by Real Madrid.
This will be a no goal.
But it looks like one of the Real players has elbowed, or he's pushed one of the Bayern players in the face too. So that'll be a foul. And this goal should be cancelled by VAR.
Does he make contact, though, with...
Gee, he sold it well, too.
The Real Madrid guy. This will be a no try, I would think. No goal. Because there was a push.
No goal. Foul.
No goal. Foul. Yep.
Yeah, no goal. So,
geez, he played it well, though, didn't he?
Oh, didn't he? Yeah, he sold it beautifully. Stayed down for a long time. It was beautiful stuff. And that means that Bayern Munich, because that would have leveled it up on aggregate, Bayern Munich scored in the 68th minute, and that goal's just been disallowed. So Bayern leading 3-2 on aggregate with just over 15 minutes plus stoppage time to go. It was a foul. Was a foul. It was well sold by the Bayern player.
I thought he was going to be out of the game for a month, the way he was reacting. Geez, they roll around, don't they? Yeah, they roll around.
In the conversion, we're speaking about it, obviously, in the wake of what occurred last weekend. The converging on the referee just then was amazing, wasn't it? So 3-2 Bayern Munich on aggregate, 15 minutes plus stoppage time, or 16 and a half minutes plus stoppage time to go. Welcome back. Give us a call, 1353 53 0419 767 272, on the text line. Great to have Pup back with us today. We're fixated on this Champions League at the moment, Loz. And it is still Bayern Munich on the day in Spain, 1-0 over Real Madrid. So they lead 3-2 on aggregate, Loz.
Well, you were just telling me about your knowledge of the Champions League, Mido, about how this could be history repeating itself, the final at Wembley.
At Wembley, yes.
Now, tell our listeners, you might have told them yesterday.
I think I did. But the last time the final was at Wembley, It was Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund.
All German final. Could be the same this year.
If it holds this result at the moment, but you get the feeling there will be significant drama late here.
Do you reckon Harry Kane's made the right decision? Leaving Tottenham to go and play with Bayern Munich?
I think it's...
Cha-ching.
Even though they
check his bank balance, he does.
Yeah.
He did, Loz, yeah.
But to play in a Champions final.
Yeah, he did for Tottenham. They were beaten by Liverpool.
I know.
Beautiful.
But,
but
to go there with a big chance of winning.
Yeah.
Big chance of winning.
Oh, they'll be hot favourites if they beat Madrid here this morning.
Geez, I love when I start talking about sports I don't know much about.
But you say it with conviction.
Just got to say it with confidence.
Just you're not the only one, Loz. Don't worry about that.
Wait till the Olympics comes.
Just got to convince us that you know.
In fact, during the Olympics, you're our...
Everyone is an expert when it comes to Olympics, don't they? Whether it's walking, archery.
How much better table tennis player are you?
Table tennis, yeah.
Table tennis is the one sport. You see it on TV once, and all of a sudden, you're like, you're a pro at it. You played twice when you were a kid, now you're a pro. Yeah,
why didn't he do this? And
it's a poor backhand.
In fact, during the Olympics... Every day, we're going to have Loz's Olympic musings segment I've just made up. You're just going to give us 60...
My thoughts, my
your
take.
Thoughts, your
my take.
My take
on a certain sport.
On
Love it.
During the Olympics. Right there we go.
Well, you nominate the sport
that
I have to go and watch.
Done.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give you a report back the next day.
We look
in my words.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts on what's that new dancing that's happening?
Ah, yeah, break dancing.
Break dancing. Yes. Loza, I can't wait to see the research.
That'll be easy. That'll be easy.
Break dancing daily.
I was doing that Friday night.
This is the Friday been all over again.
Yeah.
I was doing a bit of dancing at the... What joint was that? Wagga?
The Farrah.
The Farrah and...
You were dancing at the Farrah.
I dance all the time. I love dancing.
Yeah, but what, standing there with a little toe tap and a click of the finger, or are you actually on the dance floor?
No,
Cutting shapes.
Yeah. Who with?
Paul whoever. I just do, whoever.
Mate.
I'm a dancer pup.
Yeah, but I don't, like, if you've got your missus there, I can get it, but just on your own, just decide to go rock the dance floor.
Yeah, I can do that.
We're talking
don't worry, I know you're a dancer. Remember my birthday party? Clothless.
I can dance alone. Doesn't worry me. I can dance with people.
Yeah,
I can go and interact with people. I can break into groups.
He dances like nobody's watching.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to own the dance floor.
On our caller, Johnny from just before, said he went after DS said that he likes peanut butter with beetroot on toast, I'm assuming.
Hmm.
Peter says, I've tried the beetroot and peanut butter. Funny sort of taste. Sort of halfway between platypus and koala, says Peter. Lettuce, grape, and Vegemite is another one here.
What about this one?
Wrong with us?
Egg and licorice.
Oh, yuck.
You can't be serious.
Yuck.
Mate, weird combination. Yes. I've seen a pregnant girl order egg and licorice
you
sandwich one morning.
Be serious.
Oh,
come on, Sydney. You're tossing that one up, Sid.
And you're trying to make yourself spew. You're trying to lose weight if you're eating that.
Egg
That's not okay. What do you mean, like piece of licorice, wrap it in an egg?
I don't know.
No way. That's a piss take if I've ever heard one.
No, all these combinations, someone's got to try them.
Yeah, I need,
this is where we need DS to try the combinations. If he's got a stomach like he has, my stomach couldn't handle anything like that.
Egg and licorice actually makes me ill.
Yeah, that's a horrible thought, isn't it?
I don't like licorice anyway. Are you a licorice person?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I'm a licorice
person. Yeah, I like it. But not what are you wrapping a fried egg around today?
Yuck.
Yeah, it's a sandwich, yeah.
What else have we got here? Hey, boys, I never thought I'd write into this show about food, but the five basic tastes, sweet, sour, salty, bitter, and umami.
What's that?
Umami.
Umami.
Yeah, one of the five basic tastes, apparently. Yeah, I didn't know.
What
either.
Is it, though? I've never heard of it.
It Google. Means...
Not sumani.
It means delicious, savoury taste in Japanese.
Right.
Anyway, the text goes on and says, so that peanut butter and beetroot toast have all of them covered, says Rob. And that's why I'm guessing you're stating the case as to why it works. On that note, Jared Duffy from Tab, a very good morning to you. How are you, mate?
Morning, team. Yeah, I'm good. Some weird combinations out there.
What's the weirdest combo you've gone for, Duff?
No, I'm pretty basic, Loz.
Yeah.
If I don't like the sound of it, it's not going into my mouth.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you, Duff.
I can't imagine someone eating eggs. Yeah, licorice and egg.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I just can't imagine putting that in my mouth at the same time.
No. I had a mate that used to have tomato sauce on everything, and I mean everything.
Yeah.
Even his cereal.
Oh,
that's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
habit. That's not taste.
Yeah.
No, that's weird. That's what that is.
Ooh. Well, talking about weird, can the Dolphins win against Manly, because they're the outsiders I'm expecting in this game? And not that it'd be weird, but I think it'd be an upset, as the market would suggest.
Good segue. Just a mini upset. Mini upset. $2.
I didn't know where I was going there for a while. I had to recover. I had to pivot quickly. Yeah.
You got there.
Yeah, got there. Yeah. Got there in the end.
Okay. Well, they're outsiders, but only slight. $2.10. Manly $1.74. So clearly there's not much in that. And they'll have a big home crowd there tonight, so I can't see why they can't win. There's been a few moves across the weekend. There's been a little bit of interest in Parramatta to beat the Broncos tomorrow night. At 3:15 they are now. Brisbane 137, 9.5. But there's been two massive moves, probably the biggest moves of the year so far. Jeez. On Monday morning, St George Illawarra were 165 to beat South. They're $1.48 now, and South at 2.65. That line 6.5 points. And I think we just got this one wrong. Melbourne v Cronulla on Monday morning. Melbourne Storm were $1.48 and Cronulla 2.65. I think that start was 5 or 6. Well, it's now $1.90. Take your pick. It's all one way traffic for the Sharks.
Wow. What about AFL tonight, Daff?
Not much in this one either, Clarkey. Carlton did touch 2.05 at one stage yesterday. They're back into $2. Melbourne at $1.80. So price wise, that could go either way. There's been a couple of other moves or important matches for the weekend. Double header tomorrow night, take note. In the second one, Freo at home to Sydney. Freo at $2.20, the Swans at $1.67. The Giants have got a tricky one. They take on Essendon. You never know what you're going to get with Essendon, but they are the slight outsiders at $2.35, the Giants at $1.60. And the other one of interest is, well, we know Brisbane got that win last week, but unfortunately they've lost a few troops. And they travelled to Adelaide, who were really good in the showdown 2 weeks ago. And Adelaide at $1.70 and Brisbane there at $2.15.
Who are you tipping tonight, Lots? Carlton or Melbourne?
Carlton.
Yeah, I'm Melbourne. Gee, what about that game?
Just say that to Narc Loz every week.
Well, no. I think he's too high. I think he's not high enough on Melbourne. Because you have said
no, I'm not. No.
Oh, he's had a massive turnaround on Carlton as well, hasn't he? Remember him last season?
Yeah, and was I right? Was I right?
Well,
I didn't hate them. I just said they couldn't win the comp.
It was personal. It's like Cronulla. It's like you and the Sharks. It's personal.
It's not personal. I just give an opinion on if I think they can win or not. And I think Carlton can win it this year, even though, because I think their best football is better than a lot of teams. I think it's a better style of footy, if they get it right, than Melbourne's.
They've got a more functional forward line. I think they're a bit more consistent, those two guys, Charlie Curnow and Harry Mackay, than some of those other forward
What'd
lines.
What did you say then, Daff? Functional forward line. I'll use that.
Note taken.
Functional forward line. Next time I'm talking AFL at the pub, Daff, that's what I'll be using.
Do I get royalties for that sort of stuff?
No, but, oh, okay. But I'll let you know when I've used it and see what the reaction was.
Okay. Hmm.
Rugby tomorrow night, the Reds taking on the Rebels.
They do, and the Reds are pretty short. The Rebels have had a horror season, haven't they? The Reds are at $1.15 and the Rebels at $5.20, a line there of 13.5 points. And Saturday night, we've got the Waratahs and the Brumbies in action, and the Waratahs, a big price, $3.80. Brumbies $1.26 and that line 9.5 points.
Yeah, gee, they've got some personnel dramas, the Waratahs. Now, today, Game 2, Eastern Conference semi-finals, Madison Square Garden will be rocking the Knicks and the Pacers.
And the market, well, as has been the case with a lot of these playoffs, hasn't really moved too much. New York Knicks $1.52, Indiana $2.60. The line was 4.5, it's now 5.5 points. And we've got tomorrow's matches up. And Minnesota-Denver, what about that one, Mido? Minnesota lead 2-0.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, they're at home on Saturday, and they're $1.52 to beat Denver at $2.60.
Mm. Denver are gone. Gone.
Yeah.
No, I don't reckon they'll be turning around. This could end up being a sweep. There you go. Mm.
Okay. Jeez, well, they're out to $15 now. Actually, Minnesota, who were 15 or 16 before, to win the NBA, before the playoffs got underway, they're into 375 second picks now on the back of that with Boston at 190.
He's a star, that Edwards, isn't
oh.
he? He's an unbelievable player. Hey, Daff.
Yeah.
You must have mentioned on this program before that you like eating weird steaks or something, do you? Because there's a number of text messages that have come in about...
Have I told this story?
Daff about the steak combo.
Haven't I told your story before?
Not that I can remember.
Okay.
Go for it.
You might have, struggle, but not to me.
I struggle to do anything at all domestically, Oz. Right. And I mean anything at all. Anyway, the bride went away, and as she does, she stocks up the fridge, which is normally a waste of time. But one night, I took the gamble and said I'd cook a steak. Mm. So I cooked a steak in the pan on the grill on the stove,
mm.
and even went the extra leg and cooked some tomatoes and eggs in it. So I'm sitting down eating it, and I thought, geez, that tastes funny. I'll give it another crack. So I had another crack, and it was worse. So I went back out to the kitchen, and you know how you have those cans of canola oil and that,
yeah.
that you spray in the bottom of the pan before you... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would make sense to me that the can beside the oven or the stove would be the oil. So when I did it, I didn't have my glasses on, mm. and I just grabbed it and did
oh,
it.
No.
Yeah. It was Mortine.
Oh,
let me tell you. Let me tell you this, boys. If you're ever going to cook a steak, don't cook it in Mortine. But
God,
the worst
no.
thing I did. Worst
Daff,
thing
how
I
bad
did,
your eyesight as well, for starters. Even without your glasses, can you not tell the difference in a can of oil and a can of Mortine?
Not at the time.
What about when you sprayed it?
rather large error. She was in Melbourne out with some family and friends at a night out. And I rang her up and gave her a spray for leaving
it was her fault.
For leaving the Mortine beside.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, the whole world knew about it within 5 minutes.
Did the house catch on fire or what?
No.
Oh, my God.
That's as good as I've heard.
One thing, I can see why flies don't like Mortine. It's pretty ordinary stuff to eat.
Oh,
that's
wow.
a true story.
Oh, that is funny. That's hilarious.
Gave her a spray. I love it.
It's your fault, not mine.
It's the missus' fault for sure.
How can you leave the Mortine there?
It shouldn't have been there. Do you want any more?
No, that's enough.
Wow.
Okay, see ya.
Thank you,
see
Jared.
Goody.
Well, Jared Daffy there. Enormous drama over in Spain. Real Madrid.
How did this happen?
I think that goal, second goal, has just been given via VAR too, has it, Loz? But anyway, they've scored. Joselu has scored goals in the 88th. Minute, and then the second minute of stoppage time. So two goals in 4 minutes. Real Madrid, 2-1 up on the day, 4-3 up on aggregate. Bayern Munich have blown it. There's still 7 minutes of stoppage time remaining. But, enormous drama. The Champions League delivering.
Do you reckon the Flies would still go on the steak?
They'd stay, I don't know, but they'd stay away from the pan for a while. I can't believe that. Imagine what it would have tasted
yuck.
Like.
Yuck.
Oh,
yuck.
Ugh.
Mate.
If you've had a similar
it
experience.
It smells bad enough when you spray it.
Oh, I know.
Any similar experiences, let us know. 0419 767 272. The cooking
We're
space.
Handy, aren't we, folks? How good are we?
That's a pretty bad misread, though. Yeah. Mortine for cooking oil. That's heavy.
So I'm guessing...
That's bad eyesight.
Mortine, that's a red can. It can be a black can.
Black and red,
well.
Yeah. You can, it comes all red as well, yeah.
I don't know what brand of cooking oil he's getting, but usually it's probably a yellow can. Anyway, just trying to find an excuse for him. But, you know, the excuse is find a scapegoat, ring up the missus, it's your fault. Love that. Adam Pegilly, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Well, I'm not hungry anymore, Mido, after listening to that story.
Had you heard that before?
No, I hadn't.
No, neither had I. Couldn't believe
someone
it.
Who has trouble with their eyesight like I do as well, I don't think I'd ever make that mistake.
Yeah, I've got bad eyes. Actually, I sent a text message to a mate of mine the other day, and he goes, what the hell was this? And when I put my glasses back on to look at it, you know when it just goes, like you want to say a word, texting a word, and it just gives a random word? What do they call it?
Autocorrect.
But it's not the correct word that you want to use in
that. Of course, yeah.
And it was just...
made no sense.
It just made no sense at all. Then I put my glasses on and understood what happened. So I haven't got the great eyesight. But I reckon I would notice a can of oil, the difference between a can of oil and a can of Mortine. Most of us would, wouldn't we? Well, our eyesight's not that bad.
You would have thought, but, you know, we all have our moments where we're just, you know, vague, blasé, yeah, mind elsewhere.
Mm.
Racing, the Tab Hollandale Stakes, which will be at the Sunshine Coast, of course, on Saturday. It is race 7 on the card there at the Sunny Coast. Hueto is just favourite from Kovalika. They're $3.80 and $4 respectively, and both have drawn wide, Adam.
They have, Mido, and it's a little bit strange not to see Zaki in this race.
Yeah.
Because he's dominated for the last few years, and obviously won at the three successive occasions, but obviously, he's well into retirement now, so looking for a bit of a new breed to come through in these weight for age ranks in Queensland. I think Quedor's preparation sets up really well for a race like this heading towards the Doomben Cup. You'd think third up, coming off a win down in Sydney throughout the carnival, well, that's going to suit him really nicely. But I think Kovalika's got something to offer. We know he's been racing pretty consistently without having a whole lot of luck, and I know he was beaten a long way in that try to Jenny racing in the Queensland Stakes, but I thought he did a good job to finish on the heels of Vitastina and Mr. Brightside. So Chris Wall's obviously freshening him up, giving him a bit of a break and try and get him ready for the Queensland part of the carnival. And clearly we've got Chuck Spokes heading north as well. So, yeah, fascinating little race on paper. Plenty of different betting angles you can take. But I know we've been talking about this Gold Coast track, Mido, and how disappointing it is that it's had the issues that it's had so far. But the one positive or one spin-off is that we get to see Sunshine Coast hold a big feature race meeting. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm. And J-Mac's going to stick with I Wish I Win going forward, is he?
Yeah, no great surprises here, Loz, I don't think. But given he took the ride in the TJ Smith Stakes and Luke Nolan's been struggling with his fitness for a while now, I think Peter Moody and Connections have decided to lock in J-Mac for the Winter Carnival. So I Wish I Win will head to the Doomben 10,000, I believe, at his next start, which is a logical next stepping stone for him, given he's had the one run in Sydney. And he'll have probably Australia's best jockey at the moment on board, and I'm sure they probably want to try and jag one or two more Group 1 wins before the end of the Winter Carnival up there in Brisbane.
Yulong paid, what, $2.6 million for the filly by Zoo Star out of Solar Charge, so a sister to Sunlight, called Clean Energy, which won on debut and recouped $39,650 there at Warwick Farm yesterday.
Still a long way to go, Mido, isn't it?
It's a good start, though.
It's a good start. Yeah, she showed she had a fair bit of ability, I thought, there yesterday. I don't want to get too carried away because it was a heavy 10 track and we don't know the quality of opposition, but she only did what she could do yesterday at Warwick Farm, and I'd imagine that Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, given how much that Yulong and Coolmore have paid for her to keep her, I suppose, in the family there, they want to try and get her to a stakes race, and she'll be heading up to Queensland later in her preparation for some stakes races up there, and if she gets some black top on her pedigree, then I wouldn't say it's almost pretty much job done, but it's close to, really, because she'll be a very valuable broodmare heading forward. So, yeah, I'd love to see her keep racing, obviously, for a couple of seasons. But from what we saw there yesterday, she's definitely got stakes potential.
Buddy, what's the latest with David Fifita and the Panthers?
Welcome back, Clarky, first of all.
Thank you, mate. Thanks for warming my seat as well. From all reports, you were brilliant.
Just one day, Clarky, just warming the seat. So,
thank you, champion.
Yeah, Fifita. I think we're getting very close to decision. I think there were some crunch talks being held last night on the Gold Coast about what he was going to do. Listen, I don't think my position's changed, guys, from yesterday. I think it's very unlikely he's going to stay at the Gold Coast now. Obviously, he's let this drag out right until, what is it, hours before before the clause needs to be enacted for next year. If he was going to take up that clause, you would have thought he would have done it by now. So I still believe that Panthers might have just got their noses in front as it stands right now. I think they've made a big push for him in the last sort of 4 or 5 days. And when Penrith come knocking, I tell you what, it's hard to turn down. So it'll be a massive, massive coup for Penrith if they can get him, just given the amount of players they've lost in the last 4 or 5 years. And there's going to be a bit of a debate about the salary cap here, saying, well, if a player like David Fifita goes to a club like Penrith, is the salary cap really working? And I can understand why some people say that, but on the flip side, Penrith have lost a lot of players over the last 3 or 4 years. So this might be just one they get back in return. And I'd expect some news a little bit later today, boys.
Just on that, though, Adam, because I reckon some teams might be a bit aggrieved that you have a player that leaves a club on $1.1 million and signs for less at another club. Like, how does that go down? Because people are obviously sceptical at times when they see players changing clubs for a lesser amount of money.
Yeah, it's a good question, Loz. I think a lot of people will be asking questions and saying, well, how can that happen? But you and I both know it's natural that guys will obviously take a little bit less to go to more successful clubs where they think they've got a chance of winning a premiership.
But I reckon what happens is depending on which club they go to. That's where all the, like, if the Roosters didn't have all that money, like, they get unfairly targeted at times, I think, the Roosters. You know, if they didn't have all this money and they signed for feeder, I reckon there'd be clubs going, oh, how can the Roosters sign for feeder on 800,000 when so he's just coming off 1.1?
Yep. No, I completely understand what you're saying. But I think there's almost, there's another issue involved with this, and almost a bigger issue, is that clubs that are willing to put in clauses in the contracts for some of their highest paid stars, and often you'll see it, it's clubs down the bottom of the ladder who are desperate to retain someone or desperate to recruit someone. Look what the Tigers are going through at the moment with Stefano Utuakamanu and all his clauses in his contract. Like, I've never heard of clauses like he's got his contract at the moment about playing a certain amount of Origin games or the team making the finals in this year in 2024. I'll say one thing. Go and have a look on the NRL website and you see the signings tracker and have a look at Penrith's management of their salary cap and their roster. Of their top 30 guys that got contracted, guess what? Not one single one of them has any clauses in their contracts, according to that. When they sign for the club, they sign for a period, and that's it. So they're not sitting there every year and waiting till a round 10 clause or waiting till they get to the end of the year where a player and a manager are thinking, oh, should we take up this this option in our contract or should we push you for more money? They're straight up and down. They contract guys for a certain period, and that's it. They don't worry about all these clauses that in the player's favour or anything like that. And unfortunately, the Gold Coast went down this path with David Fifita and to a lesser extent, Tino Fasoamalaawi. They played with fire and they're getting burnt. That's the reality, isn't it, Loss?
Oh, we're just
seeing huge drama here in the Champions League. It looked like Bayern Munich have equalised, like in the 13th minute of stoppage time. Is it being ruled out for offside here, I think?
Oh, I don't know whether
it has
been.
This has been a dramatic finish to this tie. And Bayern have put it in the back of the net. It looks like that's it, though. That it's been. I don't know why it was ruled out. Was it definitely offside?
He's going to have a look at it
there.
Yeah,
there we go. The old VAR comes again. Anyway, Adam, the women's origin side was announced yesterday as well for New South Wales.
Yeah, it was, Mido. And I'm really surprised to not see Jesse Southall involved. And it's a little bit hard because, obviously, they're not playing on the NRLW stage at the moment. So we're not getting to see them on a weekly basis, albeit they're playing in their respective state competitions. But, wow, Newcastle won the comp last year. She's obviously an enormous talent, a fantastic talent. And for her not to retain her place this year, I thought was a little bit surprising. But we'll see the proof's in the pudding. Looking forward to that game, kicking off Magic Round. It'll be on next Thursday night at Suncorp, into a big few days for the NRL and the rest of the weekend's games.
Yeah, great way to start an awesome weekend. He looked onside to me, Loz.
Oh,
he's been ruled out. Oh, gee, that's devastating for Bayern. And how about a couple of these stories on the back, on the text line, on the back of Jared Duffy's revelation about he cooked, instead of using cooking spray, used mortine to cook his steak once. Similar to Duff's, Mozzie buzzing around the bedroom one summer night. I'm lying on the bed in the birthday suit. The wife goes, gets the mortine, gives the Mozzie the what for above the bed. I'm no longer half asleep when it starts to burn. She's hit me with the oven cleaner. Big dog from Coffs sending that one through.
A setup for sure.
Here we go. Not being a coffee drinker or using much sugar, I once prepared a hot Milo for a couple of hungover furniture removers. Unfortunately, I put MSG into the mug instead of sugar. You can imagine the vomiting, says Tim at Canberra. I've always been the cook in my relationships. Call me paranoid, but I just don't trust the other half. My ex decided to cook a couple of really nice scotch fillets, and I thought, why not? The smell was a bit funny. I let it slide. I went to cut into it. I realised she hadn't removed the plastic that sometimes comes around the steak. Her response was, is that supposed to come off? Cost me 3/4 of a house and half my super to get out of that, but it was worth it, says Hatchie from the Heights as well. Sorry, Adam.
That's all right.
Have a good day, mate.
See you, boy.
And it's all over in the Champions League this morning. And, gee, that was a dramatic finish.
Was it?
Real Madrid were gone, and they've come from behind and won. 2-1 on the day, 4-3 on aggregate. The Champions League final at Wembley will be Real Madrid up against Borussia Dortmund.